Hi everyone! Welcome back to Next Stop. This is a special takeover of the TTT, Talking Transport Transformation, brought to you by TUMI, the Transformative Urban Mobility Initiative. And I'm your host, Sana Khasawne, the Youth Ambassador on Inclusive and Sustainable Transport. It's been a while. We have paused for a couple of weeks, but now we are back strong and we have a new background, as you can see. And we have a guest, a very special guest, actually, from the Philippines. Please join me in welcoming Jayza Rodriguez. She is a bike commuter, a community organizer, and a bike mechanic. How cool is that to have a female who is working in bike repair? Hi, Jayza, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Sana, and hi, everyone who are watching this from all over the world.
I know that you are a girl with a bike tattoo because you're so obsessed with biking and with building an inclusive and a sustainable community of cyclists. But I want to focus a little bit on you being a bike mechanic. How did that start? How did you get into this? Was there a moment, an incident that happened with you that made you think, oh, I need to learn how to repair my bike. I need to learn how to take care of my bike. And I need to learn what to do in cases of emergencies, because anything can happen when we are on the road, right? Or maybe was there a person that inspired you to get into this? Tell us the story.
Yeah, so I usually get this question, especially when I'm teaching people how to ride a bike and how to repair their own bikes. And the story actually begin in 2017. So I've been bike commuting in 2017 and up until now. So it's about 10 years now. And my interest in bike mechanic or bike repair really started when I was having a career break. In 2022, I bought my bike in my hometown with a tire pump and a patch kit. And of course, it was like an adventure time. So it was, I know that I would need to know how to fix my own bike. So I watched YouTube videos, park tool videos on how to repair my flat tire. But I know that the confidence was still not there. And later on, when I went back to the city, I also had the realization that there's no female bike mechanic in the bike shops that I go into. And that usually started the idea of learning to fix my own bike. So I would volunteer to bike shops. And later on, I learned that there's actually a bike school in Singapore that teaches people how to repair their own bikes. And normally, because of, you know, it's fun and meditating to fix your own bike, I would usually film myself and post the stories about it online. And later on, bike communities and bike groups would reach out to me and ask if I can also teach them how to repair their own bike. So it really just started with a career break adventure, to answer your question shortly.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I don't think we have a lot of female car mechanics even. I mean, even when I was at the university, girls that were enrolled in mechanical engineering programs were very few compared to male students. But I think that there is a need, there is a gap in this market. And it's important to open the eyes of young girls that this is something interesting that you could do as well. You know, when I was first training to get my driver's license, my father told me, like, I need to learn what to do in case of an emergency. Like, I need to check the oil, I need to check for the temperature, I need to check for the air pressure in the tires. And there are, like, basics that I need to know how to do in case I go through any emergency situation on the road, especially when sometimes you are driving in a place where you could be, like, out of service, you don't have connection, and you need to know, like, how to deal with this kind of situations. And I think the same applies to cycling, right? But when we talk about repair, I mean, doing something technical to a bike or to a car sounds a little bit intimidating, right? How do you basically pitch your service to people? Like, when you are planning a repair workshop, how do you tell people that this is a skill you need to master if you rely on cycling as your everyday mode of mobility?
Mm-hmm. I think it's looking at the bicycle repair is also looking at it as the same with car repair. And I think the perception about how we see car and bikes as a form of transportation can really shift how we see repairs. So if you need to learn, you said it yourself, that your father would tell you that you need to learn how to fix your own car. And it's your form of transportation. For me, my form of transportation is bicycle. So for me to be more resilient and more have a more reliable form of transportation, which is my bicycle, I would definitely have to learn how to fix it anytime and anywhere I am. So in terms of intimidation, I think my answer would be yes and no. Bicycle mechanic or bicycle repair can be intimidating at times, but I think it's primarily intimidating because women especially are not informed about it. And the bicycle industry is also very male-dominated as of now. But, you know, we have more initiatives like Women Mobilize Women, Global Feminist Transportation Network. So it's really important to have those types of coalitions and organizations to, like, float more women in the transportation sector, because again, the city is designed by men. So if you have more women talking about the information about bike education, I think we can present the bicycle repair as less intimidating. It's just really about floating and having more education around it to make it less intimidating.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. But is it actually difficult to learn? Like, how do you make sure that every cyclist is well prepared to deal with any emergency situation? Do they need to have any kind of emergency gear similar to the ones that most drivers have in their cars?
Yeah. So for me, since I've been biking for almost 10 years, I usually carry a bike bag that has a tire levers that you can use to remove the tires in the tire rim, tire pump, patch kit, just in case you need you have to fix a flat tire, and some maybe lubricants for chain, and you also need to learn how to fix your drop chain. So just having the essentials in your bike bag can really help you a long way, especially if you're biking in a place where you don't have a bike shop. You can easily, like, fix your own bike and even save up for it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. But since you've been biking for like over 10 years now, what would you say from your experience as a mechanic are the most common issues that cyclists go through on the road? And maybe you can tell us also, how can they overcome them?
Mm-hmm. So I think this one specifically have been going around during my workshops, like specifically the women students. They would usually tell that the saddle, the part of the bike where you sit, are usually uncomfortable. And this is because most of the saddle that has been manufactured by the bicycle industry has been designed to male anatomy. So you cannot expect female anatomy to be comfortable in that same design if it's really designed for male anatomy. So these are some of the discussions. And then the second one would be the design of the frame. So most of the cycle, well, I guess it depends also on the type of bike. So if you're using a bi-commute bike, you can definitely have a more relaxed positioning. It also depends on, sometimes you have bicycles which are more aggressively positioned, like road bikes, aerodynamic bikes, and mountain bikes. So it depends also on the rider. And sometimes these types of discussions in terms of how comfortable you are on a bicycle are usually not being discussed. Because again, most of the bikes are designed for men. So it really, you know, it's the discussion also of the design of the bikes that needs to be discussed in the bike community. And I think in terms of mechanical, my students would always say that they want to learn how to fix a flat tire, how to fix a drop chain, and sometimes the squeaky parts of the bicycles. So I would usually tell them to first learn what are the parts of the bike so that you would know how to diagnose them. It's also like the how you also diagnose a person or a car or anything really. You need to learn how to identify the parts before you diagnose them. And then you would know what type of tool would you need to fix that part. So yeah, those are the some of the things that are usually discussed to me by my students and also my experience.
This is super interesting, Jayza, because I think that in the mobility and in the transportation space, we talk a lot about how vehicles and how cities are not designed to accommodate the needs of women. But you are bringing a unique lens to this conversation, which is related to how bikes are designed and how could they affect the health and the well-being of women, especially that they were not designed to basically accommodate the anatomy needs of the female body. And I saw a very interesting post that you made on Instagram a couple of weeks back that talks about how women should take care of their health and of their hygiene during their periods, especially who rely on cycling as a daily mode of mobility. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I think also the listeners are going to be interested to learn more about this, like menstrual health and cycling.
Mm-hmm. So I think what I can share is more on the practical tips. So definitely you can bike even if you have a period. You know, it's not a barrier for you to move around, but there are definitely ways to make sure that you're comfortable enough when you're biking around the city or even when you're on a bike tour. So things like menstrual cups can be very useful for women because one, it doesn't creates a lot of garbage because you can just put it inside and it can catch up until 24 hours of your period. And it's really hygienic and it's, I think, also cheap because you only need to buy it for like, you can use it for 2 years. And yeah, you can just wash it and keep it after your period. And then aside from that, you can also think about getting your own saddle in a more like a feminist, not feminist, like designed for female anatomy saddle. Well, we can say that it's a feminist saddle because it's designed for female anatomy. And also getting the nutrients that you need because, you know, biking is also a very physical activity. So making sure that you have adequate nutrition, you're hydrated, and you have enough space for you to rest also.
Yeah, I think it's important that we plan our journeys ahead of time when we are having periods, whether we were driving, whether we were walking or even cycling. And it's very important to be like mentally prepared and physically prepared as well. So taking enough time to be well rested before we cycle is very important. And you mentioned hydration and being well fed and eating healthy food will help a lot during cycling. Now I would like to talk about the aesthetic side of cycling, because I believe that one of the most beautiful things about the cycling culture is that your bike becomes an extension of your personality, right? Like you have to add certain elements to make your bike stand out. So you can easily spot it when you park it in the parking space, or to make it basically represent yourself, represent the things you stand for. I see a lot of people adding stickers, maybe ribbons and bells and things like that. How do you decorate your bike? And as a bike mechanic, is this something that you discuss in your workshops?
I definitely don't discuss accessorizing the bikes because I think also their creative freedom on what they want to do. But I think like when I do have my workshops, I would ask my students to bring their bikes inside the classroom so we can usually check it out and see what type of gears they have, what type of brakes they have, because it's like a lot of different types of parts of bikes also. So it's included in the discussion. To answer your question, for the longest time, I don't really decorate my bike. I don't know if there's a, like an expectation for a bike mechanic to have a decorative bike. But for me, I really see my bike as a form of transportation. So a utility bike. So, but right now I'm easing into putting some stickers, in my bicycle. I just put a dinosaur sticker in my bike. And some, phrases about transportation and, using some used parts in your bicycle. So it's about reusing, recycling. And yeah, I think it's also me thinking about what type of sticker should I put in my bike, because I love my bike so much and I don't want to put something that I will regret. So yeah, that's about it.
But hey, think about it. Like, this could be an additional service that you offer. You can design your own stickers and you can bring your own accessories that you think people will like, and you could sell it in your workshop. So think about that, Jayza. We want you to grow your profession as well.
Yeah, I definitely am going to put that in my bucket list.
Amazing. Do you have a bike care routine? Because basically, I think especially when you rely on cycling like every day, people shouldn't just like leave their homes and get on the bike and just start cycling. They need to check their bike first, right? Like, do you make sure it's clean? Are there certain things that you check before you start cycling?
Yes, definitely. So during my workshops, I would tell my students the A, B, C, D. So A for checking the air, B for checking the brakes, C for checking the chain, and D for drop. So every time I go out, I would definitely check these types of, these parts of my bike, just to make sure that I am safe and I'm also, I can also go back safely from the trip. And in terms of maintaining my bike, I would just make sure that it's well lubricated, especially the chain part, because it's usually exposed. And I would usually send my bike to a bike shop for bike wash once in maybe a quarter, because I travel a lot. So my bike is really attracts a lot of dirt and dust outside. In terms of the noises, I usually fix it myself. I'm proud to say that I can do it now. Before, I would just like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to do this. Like, I would send my bike to a bike shop. But now I'm confident and I have the tools. I already know the parts and I'm already trained to do this. And I even teach people how to do it. So I just do it myself.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. But do you think that repair culture is becoming a little bit rare? Like, are people more likely to repair their bikes and fix their bikes when they're struggling with some mysterious noise or when they're struggling with a specific issue with their bike? Or are they likely to replace it? What do you think is the first thing that people think about? Is it a big trouble to repair the bike? And replacement would sound easier and maybe cheaper for people. What's your perspective on that?
I think it depends on the severity of the part of the bike. So say, for example, it's a flat tire, it can definitely be repaired. But if it's about the gears and it's already like, it's really damaged, then it's a I think some level of assessment would be needed if it needs to be repaired or replaced. In terms of repair culture, I think it's really interesting that the more young people are into repairs right now, not only on bicycle, but even on clothes, even on appliances. I can see Gen Z's doing, like, creating some, like, computers out of their mobile phones because they don't want to be connected. So I think there's a rise on repair culture, at least in my point of view. Is it cheaper to repair? Definitely. But of course, you also need to have a certain skill set before repairing, because sometimes if you're not equipped to repair, you might get, like, you might have more damage than being repairing the thing that you want to repair.
Definitely, there is an increased environmental awareness among the younger generation. So people, yes, would like to repair things and fix them as long as they can be prepared, be fixed, instead of replacing them. And I love this about this generation, because we care about the planet and we are not, like, very much drawn into this consumer culture. But what if the bike itself is beyond repair? Does it get recycled? Can we turn it into something new, or what happens?
Yeah, I think I saw a very interesting perspective on bike repair recently, because we had this job with the University of the Philippines, a bike share program, and it was stuck since 2019. And the bikes are, if you look at it in the first glance, you would say it's beyond repair. But the thing about bicycles, I think it's, bicycle can be forever if they are well maintained. So the thing about bicycle parts, especially the one that you can, like, the brands like Shimano, you can easily get a new part and you can have it fixed. And that's what we did with the UP Bike Share. And now we are happy to be able to revive 15 bicycles from the warehouse. And now I think they're ready to be used. And what I think is that you just need to make sure that your bike, if you don't want your bike to be totally beyond repair, you just need to make sure that it's well maintained. You make sure that it's bike wash, it's well lubricated. Maybe you, like, bring your bike once in a while in a bike shop just to have it checked, or even do it yourself.
You know what, Jayza? I'm following you on Instagram, and I really enjoy seeing the many vlogs that you post, whether on your stories or as reels, or sometimes on LinkedIn as well. And I love how you portray cycling not just as a mode of mobility, you portray it as freedom, as movement, as an interesting way to explore the city. And sometimes you share also stories from your travels, like when you were in Denmark and when you were traveling across Europe as well. You shared a lot of interesting insights about cycling. So even if you've been cycling for 10 years in the Philippines, to you, it's a totally new adventure and an interesting way to explore new cities. Can you tell us, how do you stay safe as a cyclist? And how do you film your vlogs without being distracted?
Well, I think one of the most interesting books that I read influencing the way I portray or I film my post online was the one, Pleasure Politics by Adrienne Marie Brown and Joyful Militancy. I forgot the two authors, but those two books were really instrumental in how I see movement or biking as a whole. The idea was that you should marry, or you should merge, the idea of joyful activity, for me that's biking, and an idea of social issue. So for me, biking is already, like, my favorite thing to do, and exploring different parts of the world is another. And I think because of my background as a youth leader, and who's also been into politics for quite some time, I do have a certain lens on how to, like how to, like, what do I see in a certain place? And that, I think, is interesting for people, because I think it's not only me, it's also like a lot of us, all of us, we have different lenses on different things. I can see a girl biking outside and you can have a different perspective about it. And, you know, it's just really the fusion of all of my experiences as an organizer, as a feminist, as a, I'd say, brand ambassador. I love storytelling, and I think that's how people are more engaged in how I, like, say it and how I tell my story and experiencing a different city. So, yeah, how do I make sure that I'm safe? I think I'm just used to filming a certain moment, like with my one hand. I know it's not safe, but I think you develop this certain kind of alertness when you're biking also for a long time. But I don't recommend it to everybody.
Yes, please stay safe. And if you are cycling in a busy lane and there are so many people, just, you know, like, think about filming some other time, or maybe when you reach a safe place, or maybe you can make a few stops to film a couple of things. But yeah, don't cycle while being distracted. This is not recommended by both of us. Since you mentioned that you are active in political spaces and you advocate for a better cycling infrastructure for people, let's imagine that Metro Manila Municipality gave you the power to change the operative speed of the streets of your city. Let's say that the city started operating at a bicycle speed instead of a car speed. How would that change the way people experience the city?
Wow, that's gonna be life-changing to have a more relaxed and more slow-paced streets would be, in terms of how you see people, like the pacing of the children walking to their schools, and even the older people can really appreciate it. And I mean, if I have that power, I would do it right now. Not tomorrow, but right now. I think people deserve more spaces that can make them feel safe. Everybody needs that type of space, you know. But unfortunately, here in the Philippines, we don't have that, I think, luxury for now. And I think we also don't have more people in power who can decide and who can push that agenda to have more spaces, because I think most of us here, especially in the Philippines, are more into using cars, because again, we don't have public transportation, like adequate public transportation. So people would just think that it's really more comfortable to use a car, but of also it's going to sip all your time of being stuck in traffic.
Absolutely. And also it's important for us as the younger generation to be physically active. If we are driving, if we are, you know, like working in offices, sitting 8 hours a day, that is not good for our physical health. It's not good for our mental health. So cycling as an everyday mode of mobility helps us stay well connected with our bodies and keeping our joints healthy and all of that. So there are a lot of health benefits to cycling. I know that it's your greatest passion in life. I mean, you have it tattooed on your arm, the bike. And from an everyday mode of mobility, it became to your profession. It became something you shared with the world. What would you say to young people who are not into cycling yet, if you want to tell them that it's a way to rediscover themselves or rediscover their cities and their countries? What would your message be to young people?
Mm-hmm. One, if you don't see biking as a form of transportation, well, look at it as a form of meditation or a way that you would want to take a break, because, you know, every waking day, we are very connected online. But I think biking can really help us be like disconnect and connect to ourselves. I think that's a really good way to explore our city, be connected with yourself. And these are the things that you cannot buy. These are things that you get to experience when you're biking. So it's really, it can give more energy and it can give more ideas to young people, especially if you're trying to discover what to do next. I discovered this when I was having a career break. So who knows, we can have more bike mechanic in the Philippines or outside.
Absolutely. I believe a lot of people will be inspired by your journey and how you got into bike repair. And I think that they might be interested in learning more about your journey. So I'm going to add your LinkedIn profile and your Instagram profile as well to the description box and invite everyone to check them out and even reach out to you to learn more about this interesting work that you're doing. Jayza, we have reached the end of our episode. So we are at our final stop. What would be your message to the listeners? Is there something that you are looking forward to in the next weeks?
Yes. So I have an upcoming workshop with Filipina athletes. I'm going to do a bike commute workshop. So to help them bike going to their trainings and hopefully become more, we can have more Olympians in the Philippines. And if they want to reach out to me, I'm on Instagram and on LinkedIn and even on Facebook. So if they want to reach out to learn how to ride a bike, they can just message me and I can definitely do a workshop with them.
That sounds amazing. I hope everyone enjoyed this episode and this super interesting conversation with you, Jayza. So please, listeners, let us know in the comments, do you know any female bike mechanics? Please let us know, and maybe you can tag them as well. We would love to build a community of female bike mechanics. And if you want to bring Jayza and one of her bike workshops to your city, feel free to reach out to her and let's build a community of people that embrace cycling as a mode of mobility, a way of life, and a way to explore the city and our communities. Until next time, see you.